Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
NFL playoffs, a great game on Thursday night between Kansas City and Oakland. You know, a lot of people have fallen in love with the Raiders this year, but, you know, hold up on the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they are, you know, probably the most unexciting good team in the NFL, but, I mean, Tyreek Hill, that guy's an absolute playmaker. I mean, returning punts, kind of stepping into a big receiver role when Jeremy Maclin went down, and even with Jeremy Maclin back, I mean, that guy is a guy to look out for down the stretch and in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, you know, one thing you'd say about Kansas City, first of all, they were home, which is a tough place to play. Second of all, it was cold. And third of all, they're plotters, and they're just kind of grind it out. And, you know, the Raiders need a little bit more action. And, I mean, I thought Kansas City was a great bet myself. I mean, that was my... one of my bets of the week. Unfortunately, we don't do the show on Thursday, but that was one of my bets of the week, so I was not surprised at all.
Yeah, and you know, I think the Raiders really got hurt on that big play to Amari Cooper that he dropped. I mean, that was an easy 70-yard touchdown, and he's a guy who's, I think, has really got to step up down the stretch for the Raiders. I mean, he's been awfully cold the past 4 or 5 weeks, and I mean, Derek Carr is a very good quarterback, very solid. I mean, he's really stepped into his role, I think, this year especially. But, I mean, that pinky seemed to bother him a little bit in that game, and I think that's something they can take care of down the stretch. I think this team, both these teams are definitely playoff-bound, but I think the Raiders need to take care of a few things before they get going. But, Bub, I wanted to get into a little college football. I mean, before we get to the bowls and the awards tonight, and, you know, we had all the other awards besides the Heisman the other night, but looks like Charlie Strong might be headed to the University of South Florida. You know, he interviewed yesterday for the job. And it looks like he's going to get it. So, I mean, what do you think this does in terms of his career outlook, Bub? I mean, if he has a good showing at USF, is he poised for another job at one of the Power 5 conferences, or what does he do from here?
Oh, he'll be back. I think the truth of the matter is I think if he'd have waited, he'd have gotten a Power 5 job anyways. I mean, you know, he took that the next guy who steps into that Texas program, if he keeps it going like Charlie Strong started, they're going to be a hell of a program again. You know, again, he went in there and he cleaned house. He got rid of a lot of guys that were starters. He took no prisoners, and he tried to rebuild the program. Unfortunately, in college, you can't go out and buy them. You can't go out and do a lot of things, and you've got to recruit. So, you know, it was a little bit tougher in the task, and you know, now with so much competition in recruiting, because, you know, it used to be, you know, way back, you know, there used to be, you know, 8-10 schools that the top recruits would go to, and they were always the top. You know, Alabama, Nebraska, Ohio State, Michigan, Texas, and, you know, USC, UCLA, and that was it. You didn't go to all these other schools. Now, hell, there's 80 schools that kids will go to now because of all the primetime TV. So, it's hard to rebuild as fast, and unfortunately, he was a victim of, you know, the masses, and this is what always happens. You know, they fire a guy who would have been a great coach, and I think he'll be back in no time in the Power 5 conferences.
Yeah, I mean, South Florida, I think this is a pretty decent spot for him. I don't disagree with you that, you know, had he waited a little longer, he might have gotten a better job. But, I mean, USF the past few years, I mean, they're always a team that's kind of knocking on the door of the top 25. So I think there's definitely some room versus Charlie Strong to do some great things here. I mean, we saw what he did at Louisville. I mean, the guy went 35-15 in a few years there and landed that big job with Texas. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, but I think this guy, we'll definitely see him back in the Power Five. I think sooner rather than later. I think this USF program is headed in the right direction. But Bob, talking about another team who had another great season, Houston, the University of Houston, the Cougars, they chose to promote their offensive coordinator, Major Applewhite, to the head coaching position. I mean, this was a team who was rumored to be looking at guys like Lane Kiffin, a guy like Les Miles, but they chose to stay in-house here. What'd you think of the move? Should they have ventured out and tried to hire somebody else, or was it good to stay within the program?
I always like to stay within the program. I mean, everybody just thinks it's easy to walk into a job. You know, Houston is not, just an easy place to start bringing guys in and run a program. I mean, again, you have to compete. And, if you get a choice, Texas or Houston, you're probably going to go to Texas, right? So I think that, Major Applewhite, a Texas alum, by the way, I think that they did fine. I think it's better to keep him inside the program. You kind of build some stability, and you don't lose some of the recruits that might have come in, because I'm sure he had a lot to do with it. So I'm happy. I like it better when they do it that way. I think they put way too much value on some of the coaches and some of the things that they do.
Yeah, I mean, this Houston team under Tom Herman during his tenure, I mean, they did a lot of great things, improved. I mean, they were a top 10 team. For most of the college football season, they had a few just enormous wins, and I think staying in-house makes sense here. Their offense was phenomenal this year, and I think Major Applewhite, I mean, kind of keeping that same culture more or less, I think it'll bode well for this Houston team. But I think next year, I mean, I'm not going to say they're going to make the college football playoff. I think they're a team, though, kind of a dark horse team, the outside of one of the major conferences that has a chance to possibly get there. They had a good chance this year. A big win against Louisville a few weeks ago. I mean, they've had overall a stellar season, I think.
Well, I got to take that back. I can't call it a stellar. When you lose to Navy as a double-digit favorite, it can't be a stellar season, especially after you've beaten all these other teams up. I mean, they have two losses, I believe, this year, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it can't be a stellar season. Yeah, they knocked off some great teams, and they got up for a few games and won them. But I can't give them that kind of love because, again, they've got so many soft games on their schedule that it doesn't add up. I mean, you can't lose to if you can't be a Power Five team and be ahead of them if you can't beat the Naval Academy. Don't get me wrong, because I had them. I dogged on them twice this year and had them. I love the Naval Academy, and I can't wait to watch them play today. But at the end of the day, you can't lose to Navy and figure yourself as a top 10 team. It's not logical.
Okay, I got you. Well, speaking of the Naval Academy, who you got in the game today?
Well, it's hard to go with Army, but the game has come from 10-6. I'm going to go with the Naval Academy. I just think they're that much better, but it should be a good game this year. And I don't love it as a great play, but I do think that they're better than Army. And it's one of those games. And if you get ahead, it's almost impossible to ever come back here. So whoever takes an early, they'll probably win.
Yeah, I thought it was very surprising last week. Navy got shellacked by Temple. I mean, I did not see that coming. I thought they were a much better team going in. So, yeah, this game is definitely interesting. I mean, it's one of my favorite games of the year. It's a game that everybody watches. It's the last game of basically the college football regular season. Definitely exciting. And, Bub, speaking of last games, Vern Lundquist, is leaving, has left his mark on college football. I think he's still going to continue to announce some other things, golf, college basketball and whatnot, but he's been around the SEC, I think, since 2000. I mean, the guy's been announcing games for 1,000 years, and I think it's really basically the voice of college football. So, I mean, what'd you think of his time on CBS with the SEC and everything else?
I will answer that when we come back from the break, because I obviously have an opinion on everything, so I will answer that. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single every weekend. And every day you can download The Bubba Show. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We will be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge. Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And so Xander, I think that Vern Lundquist, A, is great. I love those golden tones of his. He's just he's a phenomenal, really excitable announcer. He was, I think, the second generation of a Dick Enberg who just, oh my, and he had his own shtick, and I thought he was really good. And Sad to see him go, and I thought he was a great team with Gary Danielson. So sorry to see him go, but I thought he was great.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed listening to him too. I mean, his voice. I mean, you don't see the broadcaster's faces that much, but I mean, his voice was a staple in college football for a long time, as it is, you know, with a lot of major sports. But Bob, talking about college football, we had, you know, a lot of the championship games last week for their respective conferences, and I think the game of the week had to go to Wisconsin at Penn State. I mean, Penn State came out, really played well, came back, scored 10 points in the fourth quarter to win this game 38-31. Their coach was all excited, you know, saying they had a great case to make the college football playoff. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but I mean, I think Penn State had a hell of a year, finishing at 11-2 right now.
I think Franklin did a great job and brought him back. I think they came out and looked like pigs in the first half of that game, and somehow managed to come back and take it. I mean, I liked them. We had them on the show, but they looked horrible. But they did come back, and I got to give Franklin a lot of credit. And Penn State could be back on the road to upper tier. But in my opinion, even though they finished, I think ranked fifth in the standings, which doesn't mean anything, They did not deserve to go as a top four team. I think that the four teams that are in there, and I would put Michigan myself. I put Michigan over Penn State again as well. So it didn't work out that way for him, but great year for him and great year for Franklin. And but I do think that the group got it right, the computer got it right, and I think your team Washington, who we kind of wrote and written off, had somehow snuck in there, and good for them.
Yeah, I mean, Washington, that game got ugly in a hurry. I mean, I actually had the Buffaloes in this game, but I mean, it's really hard to manage when your starting quarterback goes down after the first series, and this game just got out of hand. I mean, it was only a 7-point game at half, but the third quarter and the fourth quarter just belonged to Washington, and they, you know, winning 41-10 against a top-10 team. I think Penn State absolutely, I agree with you, did not deserve to make the college football playoff. You know, they had a great resume, but Washington, their one loss coming to a very good USC team. I mean, I'm excited to see this team play Alabama. I mean, I watched them really for the first time pretty closely against Colorado, and I think they're a very solid team. However, I don't think they match up well with Alabama, you know, just like everybody else doesn't. But, I mean, it'll be exciting, and I think Clemson, Ohio State, I think the committee got it right, their top four, and how they rank the teams. Clemson, another nail-biter, won by 7 points against Virginia Tech, you know, but they've kind of been hanging around all season. But, you know, like we've said, any sort of playoffs, once you make it there, anything can happen. I think this Clemson-Ohio State game is going to be a fantastic game, and I'm gonna hold off on my picks for the games until we get closer to them. I mean, we still got about 3 weeks before these games happen, but, I mean, college football playoff bowl season, it's one of my favorite times of the year. The bowls are always exciting. I know there's 100 of them, but I mean, some awfully good games coming up, and I can't wait for it.
And they're still exciting. But I did tell you, remember what we said? I said that Penn State, I mean, that Alabama would be at least two touchdowns over anybody, and they're, I think, 17 or 18 over Washington, which there's nobody in Alabama's class. And I will say right now, I mean, obviously nothing's 100%, but I give Washington less than a 1% chance of winning the game. Because Alabama is that good, and their quarterback is that good. And but my personal opinion is the only one that can really beat them is Ohio State, if anybody can beat them. And that's only because Urban Meyer has a little edge on Nick Saban for whatever reason that happens to be.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, thinking back a couple years, the Cardale Jones-led Ohio State Buckeyes, you know, beat Urban Meyer and then won the national championship. But yeah, I mean, that Alabama-Florida game was borderline embarrassing. I mean, Florida scored on their opening drive, and I thought for a second that maybe they'd be able to keep it close. But, I mean, Alabama put basically 17 points on the board with their defense alone, with that the interception return, and then, you know, that fumble recovery brought them within the red zone. But, I mean, they outclassed Florida, I mean, winning this game by almost 40 points. And, I mean, that's how good of a team they are. I mean, we've been saying it all year. Nobody has really been close to this Alabama team in any facet of the game. I mean, they got, you know, two defensive players who I think might be the two best in the country, one of those being Reuben Foster, the middle linebacker. But, Bub, getting into a little baseball, things are heating up at the winter meetings. And, you know, it's sad to say this, but, you know, our main man, Dexter Fowler, who I think, you know, say what you want, might have been the most important piece that we brought back at the beginning of the season, is signed a 5-year, $82.5 million deal with the division rival Cardinals. How do you feel about it?
Well, as I said all along, I mean, I said this earlier. I said that I think he was the most valuable player for the Cubs as a team. So, you know, they didn't play well when he was out, when he was injured. They didn't play well. That's when they went into their losing streak. To me, he was a key cog. I'm sorry to see him go, and I can't believe they couldn't sign him for $82 million for 5 years. I'm shocked, and I'm disappointed. But you know, of course, you got to make some cuts somewhere, and of course, that was one that went. And you know, I think it's a mistake. I mean, I think that you know that leadoff guy is such a key, and he was such a key in the dugout. And even remember in spring training when he showed up, you know, and they didn't know he was re-signed, and how happy everybody was. So. You know, to me, not so good, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird feeling seeing a guy, you know, we just won, you know, our first World Series in 108 years, and you see, you know, maybe not the best player on the team, but I would argue that he could be the most valuable going to your most hated division rival. I mean, you know, good for him. You know, he really deserved this contract. I mean, this year, you know, almost a .400 on base percentage. Defense got a lot better. I mean, you know, was, you know, almost negative 20 defensive run scored. It's a metric for, you know, outfielders, was plus one this year. I mean, the guy really showed out and had an unbelievable year. Was a major piece of this World Series team. So, you know what? He went out and earned it this year, contract year. So, you know, I wish all the best to him. And another guy who left, Bub, but I think we replaced him right away, Aroldis Chapman signs an enormous deal with the Yankees. And, Bub, there were always talks that Aroldis Chapman wanted to end up back with New York. And you know what? The guy wanted to go back. I got no ill will towards him. He did his job for us, helped us win a World Series, and now he's back in the pinstripes, I guess where he always wanted to be. But at the same time, we got back Wade Davis, who I think, when healthy, I mean, I know he wasn't very healthy this year, is one of the best closers, probably a top three closer in baseball.
I love Chapman, 105-mile-off fastball, but I was not that impressed. I didn't think he was that great. I mean, again, he throws 105, but, you know, he had a lot of trouble in the playoffs. They happened to get by it, but he, you know, we forget about that. I didn't like that big. It wasn't that big to me when they got him. I'm not sorry to see him go. I like Wade Davis better. Anyways, so to me, that was a good exchange. I don't, you know, again, I'm happy for him. I'm happy he got the World Series. I'm happy we got it. But to me, Aroldis Chapman is no big deal. And just because he throws 105, I've seen him. I saw him give up a lot of runs and a lot of hits in the World Series and in the playoffs. So, you know, to me, he was no lockdown, shutdown guy. I mean, that's just the way I saw it.
Yeah, and we also, you know, didn't give up any major prospects for him. I mean, Jorge Soler is a guy who I think could eventually maybe develop into a superstar outfielder, but I don't think he's really anywhere near that. So I think it was a great trade for the Cubs. I mean, they got a lot of good young pieces. I don't think Soler really fit into the long-term plans because, I mean, we're kind of playing for right now. I've got this great team. Also signed Koji Uehara, you know, an old man, but a very solid reliever for the Boston Red Sox for, I mean, the past decade. I mean, the guy gave up a lot of home runs last year, but I mean the strikeouts and the soft contact, definitely going to be a big part of this Cubs bullpen. But let's move across town, Bub. I think the clear cut winner of these winter meetings right now are the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the Boston Red Sox are big winners as well. I think this is one of those trades that was great for everybody. I mean, can you imagine now? You look at the Boston side of it, and their number three guy is a Cy Young winner from last year. Okay, you got Price and Sale. I mean, I don't care what happened with Price last year. He still had a decent year as far as I'm concerned, and he pitched. And yet, you know, Purcell's going to be the third guy. You can have Sale number one or Price number one. Take your choice. I think it's unbelievable for them. But we're going to step out here for a break. We'll talk about it more when we come back. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba, and we're going to step out here for a break. But make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Sporting Edge every weekend, as well as The Bubba Show every day. We always appreciate when you do that, and you're helping us grow the station. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We will be right back after the break with more about Major League Hot Stove Baseball. The Sporting Edge. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Boston, clear winner, but I think the White Sox, clear winner as well, and they've got some more house cleaning to do. I know they got rid of Eaton, and I think they should get rid of Frazier, and I think they'll do a lot of house cleaning, and it's time to do a rebuild and a redo there. I think they screwed up and didn't take advantage of what they had, and so I think now this is a great deal for them, and it's good for everybody because I think they weren't going to ever win a sale anyways.
Yeah, I mean, they still got a lot of pieces they could possibly get rid of. I mean, you know, you look at guys like Melky Cabrera, like you mentioned, got rid of Eaton, Jose Abreu, Todd Frazier. I mean, there's still a lot of big pieces on this team, and I think a lot of teams will be interested in. But, I mean, meanwhile, talking about the Chris Sale deal, I mean, you know, we got back the number one prospect in baseball in Yoan Moncada, who is just an absolute beast. I mean, kind of reminds me of Javi Baez, the way he's able to pound the baseball. And Michael Kopech, who is, you know, a 20-year-old triple-digit guy who could become a frontline starter for the White Sox, and then trading Eaton for Lucas Giolito. I know Giolito kind of struggled at the major league level, you know, a little bit last year, but has been the number one pitching prospect and the number three overall prospect, and also Ronaldo Lopez, another great young righty that they got from the Nationals. I mean, I think the White Sox are finally trending in the right direction. They're getting back all these young pieces that, you know, I think, I mean, the White Sox, 4 or 5 years down the road, this could be a team to look out for. Meanwhile, you know, I love what you said about the Red Sox. This trade worked out for both sides. I mean, Chris Sale, the Red Sox have the capacity to win right now. I mean, guys like Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, I mean, they got a great young core. And like you said, the Cy Young winner, you know, is probably going to go into the season being their number three starter behind Chris Sale and David Price. So, I mean, a lot to look out for with both Sox teams. So it's been a very successful winter for both of those teams, Bub. But you know what? Let's get into the meat of this show. We got to talk NFL.
We got to talk about one more guy though, because I think he deserves it. How about Ian Desmond? Played it out, and now he's in Colorado. And now his number should really explode. How do you like that?
Yeah, I mean, we could be looking at 40 or 50 home runs. I mean, this guy had a breakout year with the Rangers last year, and it was awesome to see a guy, you know, formerly a shortstop who really had an awful contract year and got picked up on a one-year deal by the Rangers. That's the great thing about baseball. I mean, and all it takes to get the big payday, all it takes is one great year for teams to realize that, you know, you're a great player, and Ian Desmond definitely showed that this year. I mean, it was a major piece of this Texas Rangers team. Really played fantastic all year, pounded the baseball. And, you know, Colorado is a place where hitters love to go because, I mean, the thin air and the homers are flying, and I think Ian Desmond is setting himself up to have some great years in Colorado.
So, yeah, you're right. Now, I do have one question before you get started, but I think Todd Bowles should get fired. And I think that the Jets absolutely quit playing. I watched them. It was the Monday night game, I think, right? I mean, right. It was the most brutal experience of watching garbage. I mean, these guys, in it or not, you're professionals, and you are entertainers. And I thought it was an embarrassment that a team could actually play, come out and play like that, especially because the team they were playing against needed the game desperately. And, of course, they basically just gave it to them. They said, here's go take the game. And to me, that's worse than anything they ever did with Deflategate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that first quarter was, I think, the most embarrassing part. You know, those two, you know, touchdowns they let up. I mean, one play they weren't even set. And, you know, you saw Dwayne Allen, you know, he caught the ball and he was so surprised. I mean, he basically walked into the end zone. I mean, a guy standing on the goal line and, you know, he's wide open. That, you know, it was embarrassing for the Jets. I mean, I thought, I was with you last week. I thought Ryan Fitzpatrick would lead this team to a victory over a Colts team who was not very good. But, I mean, they made Andrew Luck, you know, look like the MVP of the league, which, you know, He might be someday, but, I mean, this has not been the year of the Colts. I mean, I know they're 500 now, but they have not looked anywhere near, like, a playoff-caliber team. But, I mean, this Jets effort was embarrassing. And, I mean, I don't know where they go from here. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the quarterback of the future, and I think neither is Geno Smith. And from the looks of it, I don't know if Bryce Petty is either. I mean, the guy, I don't know if he's ready to be an NFL quarterback, and that pretty much showed throughout the entire game. Was not very effective.
Well, I'm sorry. I think that he – I see, this is where Bowles really, I think, screwed up. I think, first of all, they had no chance, and they should have been playing either Petty or the kid from Penn State.
Hackenberg.
I mean, either – look, you got four quarterbacks. One's injured. One you're not keeping regardless. So you got to play one of the ones. I mean, it reminds me of somebody who was playing varsity football when he had three quarterbacks and didn't let two of them play and converted a running back to be a quarterback. I mean, just stupid. I mean, you're not going anywhere. So why don't you see what these guys got in a key moment, not in scrap time, you know, in drag out garbage time at the end of a game. That's why Bowles should lose his job.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this Jets team has spiraled downward. They really haven't looked good all year. You know, and they've got some good pieces on that team. I mean, that defensive line, I think, is one of the best in football. But, you know, you look at their receivers, I think losing Eric Decker was a big thing this year. Quincy Enunwa was actually played pretty well, but I mean, you look at guys like Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte. I think the window is closing, and this team is really not good enough to get back to playoff stature in the next couple of years. So I think it's going to be a long road for the Jets. But you know, game of the week last week, Bob. I know we've already talked about it on that show because they played on Thursday. But Chiefs Falcons. I mean, I was excited. I thought the Chiefs were going to get the ball one more time, and they end up. Eric Berry ends up taking the ball back to the house for the second time that game on a 2-point conversion. Picking off Matt Ryan, a deflating loss for the Falcons. I mean, you know, they had a big chance to win this game, and that costly mistake, they go from up one to down one and ended up not getting the ball back, and it was real disappointing for the Falcons.
It is amazing, and of course, that's the second time this year we've seen that, right? Denver did it against New Orleans, I believe.
Right.
And, you know, hey, you know what? I mean, I said the Chiefs keep playing, and I think Atlanta's good, but I don't think they're that good. And, you know, it's a bad break. I mean, obviously very lucky to A, intercept it, and B, take it all the way back. But that's the rule, and it was pretty cool, and I thought it was extremely exciting and good for them. So it was great.
You know, Bub, I think a guy we've ragged on quite a bit on this show, not as much as Aaron Rodgers, but I think we got to give some props to Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. I mean, they're playing some fantastic football right now. They went into New Orleans and absolutely beat the crap out of Drew Brees and the Saints. I mean, Drew Brees is notorious for putting up, you know, video game-like numbers at home, and they held him to, you know, I know he passed for over 300 yards, but three interceptions, no touchdowns. Matthew Stafford was on point, threw for 340 yards and two touchdowns. And, I mean, this Lions team, they look like they're going to win the NFC North, and they might be able to do a little playoff damage if Matthew Stafford is able to keep up the level of play he's been at.
Well, I think, listen, I was always a fan of Matthew Stafford, but I thought that he always let me down. And, of course, now maybe he's going to come into his own. And, of course, I think what happened this year as well is I think it took time for him to get used to dealing with without Calvin Johnson, and he's finally brought the number one guy that he needs to make number one, which is Golden Tate. He's finally got him involved. And listen, they're playing good defense. They're doing a good job. And, of course, I think that they're going to get there, and I do think they have a chance to make some noise. I don't think they have a chance to win anything. I mean, I don't think they have a chance to get to the Super Bowl, but I certainly could. I could see them getting to the conference championship, though.
All right. And, Bub, another team that's kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, we haven't talked about them in a long time, but Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Sitting at 7-5, it had a big win over the Chargers this past week, 28-21. You know, this division, the NFC South, you got the Falcons, the Bucks at 7-5, and you got the Panthers. I mean, I don't know what happened to them this past week against the Seahawks, but that was one of the uglier games I've seen in a long time. But I mean, the Bucks, Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, this defense is starting to show up a little bit. You know, what are the chances that they win the NFC South?
I give them zero chance to win the South. I think they're playing nice. Listen, I'm a big Jameis Winston fan, so I just don't think they've got it. I think that, you know, they might sneak in, but I don't think they win it. And I think that they still have a problem at running game. And, you know, again, your question about Carolina, Cam Newton is too worried about being pretty and smiling versus fucking playing football. And to me, He became a different guy this year, with all his whining and complaining about the penalties instead of playing football. He became a whiner all of a sudden, and I think that's cost him, and I think that's cost them, and I think it'll end up costing Rivera his job.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Bub? You know, Josh Norman left the start of this year, and I think a lot of people were wondering why the Panthers, you know, coming off a Super Bowl loss, you know, probably their best defensive player they let go, and I think, you know, maybe even more than Cam Newton, I think that has been the most glaring hole on that defense. It's been nowhere near as good this year, and Josh Norman moved on to the Redskins, and this team, week in and week out, cannot shut teams down the way they did last year. Seattle absolutely torched them. I mean, Thomas Rawls rushed for over 100 yards and a couple TDs. Russell Wilson was, you know, effective once again. And this Panthers team, I mean, it's hard to believe that, you know, they're 4-8 right now with that team they put together last year. And they even got Kelvin Benjamin back this year. So
I'll answer that when we come back from the break. This is The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download The Sporting Edge every weekend, as well as The Bubba Show every day. We're going to step out here for a break. The Sporting Edge will be right back and close up the show here right after the break. The Sporting Edge. I've had my show. Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. And to answer your question, Xander, I agree, Josh Norman, big loss. However, don't forget, last year when they were playing, they had a very poor offense, but Cam could keep on the field because he wasn't so busy complaining and whining. And now he's become, you know, I think since his Super Bowl meltdown and his Super Bowl, rant at the end of the game, you know, in the press conference, he's been shit to me, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, well, you know, Bub, I think we got to take a look at the games this week. We got some games with some playoff implications, and then we got some glorified toilet bowls. And the first game I wanted to look at was the Steelers at the Bills. Bills didn't show up last week. Got beat pretty big by the Raiders. Find themselves as a 3-point dog at home versus the Steelers, who, you know, they looked pretty good against the Giants last week, Bub. I know the Giants have basically been my favorite pick for the past couple of years. I take them almost every week that I can that they're in a big game, and they just didn't show up. But I got to give a lot of credit to the Steelers. I mean, this defense, James Harrison coming back from retirement last year. I think Big Ben, I think this is a team that you want to look out for in the playoffs, is a team that kind of gets in, maybe not as a division winner, but as a wild card. This team is dangerous.
You think? Okay,
and I do.
I don't blame you. I don't, but I don't think they win this weekend. I think they lose. I mean, I think Buffalo beats them. I think that, in fact, I think Buffalo beats them handily. I think that they come back home. It's a little bit different than them on the road. And Sammy Watkins should be fully healthy. And you've got the magic of the defense of Rex Ryan, and I think they do play very well at home, and I think Buffalo beats them. So I guess we'd be on opposite sides of this particular game.
I guess we would. Bob, another big game in the AFC South, Texans-Colts. Both teams are 6-6. The Colts are almost a 7-point favorite right now, 6.5, according to CBS Sports. You know, that's subject to change in the next day, but Texans going on the road. I mean, Brock Osweiler has been atrocious this entire year, basically. Who you got in this game? Can the Texans overcome, basically being a crap team on offense all year?
I don't know. That again, I looked at the line and I go, wow, I can't see that line. But the problem I have is I cannot bet on Brock Osweiler. That's my problem in this game. Okay, he is so bad. I don't know that I don't know that there is a worse quarterback in the league than Brock Osweiler right now. So it's hard for me. I would not lay the points for sure. If I can do anything, I can only take them. But Brock Osweiler is awful. And you know more than anybody because you have Hopkins on your fantasy team, who should be a pinball machine. And of course they stink. So yes, they're fighting for first place, and you know, but I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to get excited about Brock Osweiler. I just don't see it. What do you think?
Right. I mean, last year, Hopkins had guys like Brian Hoyer, TJ Yates thrown to him, and the guy caught over 100 balls, and he can't seem to score over 10 fantasy points in any given week this year. But, Bub, I don't know. I think I would stay away from this game as well. If I were to pick one side, I think I'd have to go with Houston just based on the fact that I don't think this Colts team is that good. I mean, they looked awfully good last week, but I mean, the Jets, I think the Jets looked a lot worse than the Colts looked good. I mean, I think a lot of this line has to do with that game last week, and I mean, the Jets were, they did not look like a professional football team, and I think this Texans team, you know, they got spanked pretty good by the Packers last week. I know it was a one-possession game, but I really don't think they were in that game. If I had to pick, it'd be the Texans, but I would stay away. But regardless of the spread, I mean, this is a big game for both of these teams because, I mean, I don't think anybody's making the wild card in this division. It's got to be a division winner. But, you know, we'll move on, Bub. Another big game. We got Seahawks traveling to Green Bay. Green Bay is a 3-point dog at home. Seahawks just beat the crap out of the Panthers, and like I mentioned, the Packers beat the Texans last week. Does Aaron Rodgers have enough mojo to take down Seattle this week?
Well, Seattle's got a problem now because Chancellor's down, so that changes their defense a little bit. You know, listen, Aaron Rodgers, if he's right, is capable of beating anybody. I don't think he's right. I mean, he had a couple of good games, but he seems to fade late in a lot of these games now. It's like he's got enough juice for a half. I'm sure they can handle it. I'm not a big fan of the game. I mean, if I were gonna play the game, I would take the Packers, just because I like the opportunity to have a guy who can win the game, and I like him at home, and you know, so I take the home team dog theory if I was gonna play. What about you?
Yeah, I would as well. I mean, I think this Packers team has been very up and down this year, and I think this is kind of a trap line. You know, Seattle's been playing very well as of late. But, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers has some more magic left in him. I don't think this Packers team is going to go down without a fight. I do think the Lions are going to win the NFC North, but I think we've got a few more times to show out for Aaron Rodgers. And now we got to move on to the game of the week. My favorite team, once again, the New York Giants, 3.5-point dogs at home. And I hate to say it, you know, they burn me every single week, but I think the Giants are going to pull the upset and be responsible for the Cowboys' 2 losses this year.
There's a logical argument. My favorite team. No, I do agree with you. I do think that, look at Dak Prescott and Zeke have been phenomenal, which has made the defense terrific because, again, they spend a lot of time resting instead of playing like they did when Romo was a quarterback. I do think that the Giants do beat them. And actually, I think the Giants might beat them handily. I think that this sets up to be a big spot for the Giants. It's a big spot for everybody. And you know, I know that Dallas has trouble with OBJ. I think that we will see the Giants, even though they lost Pierre Paul. That's a big injury. But I do think that at home on a Sunday night, the Giants will step up here. And I think they do beat them. And I'm in full agreement with you.
Yeah, you know, but I think that Dallas has been playing some spectacular football this year, but I think over the course of a 16-game season, every team is due for, you know, kind of a dud of a week. I don't necessarily think the Cowboys are going to play bad this week. I just think this is a week where the Giants kind of wake up a little bit. I mean, last week, they basically sleepwalked across the field against Pittsburgh, and it was kind of embarrassing. You know, they had a chance in the fourth quarter after they scored that touchdown and immediately gave the points right back. But you know what? I think this Giants team, you know, like the Steelers, they're another dark horse. And, you know, we've seen it. They've won 2 Super Bowls, I think, in the past 8 years, something like that. And they've always been that team that's kind of snuck into the playoffs and just absolutely went on a run. I think we're going to see some of that magic this week. Eli Manning has had a little bit of a down year, but I think he hooks up with Odell Beckham quite a bunch this week. And I think the Giants really need to get the running game going. I mean, Rashad Jennings has kind of been on the shelf for the better part of the year, and I think if they get him going, if they can step up for one game on defense and kind of hold Ezekiel Elliott in check, you know, like you said, I think this has the chances to be a beatdown, I think, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the Giants ended up by winning, you know, by 20-plus points here.
I'll tell you who's got a big game this week is Denver goes to Tennessee, and Denver's a dog, which is, you know, that sounds like a trap. It seems like a trap. I mean, it's picked, but, you know, one Tennessee, that seems like a trap as well. But Denver's kind of desperate now. I mean, they're in trouble if they don't win this game.
Yeah, you know what, Bub? I actually like the Titans this week. I mean, they're coming off of a bye. Denver, you know, going on their second road game. I know, basically a picket. You know what? I think the Titans have been playing some fantastic football as of late, and Marcus Mariota is really stepping into, you know, his role being the leader of this team. I mean, DeMarco Murray's had a fantastic year, you know, a better year than I think anybody thought he could possibly have at the start of it. And I, like you said, this Denver team is desperate. And I mean, the way their division's going right now, I mean, they better win, and they better win now, because the Raiders and the Chiefs look like they've got things pretty much figured out. I know the Raiders struggled on Thursday Night Football, but like we said before, you know, each team over the course of a season is due a couple of duds, unless, you know, you're the Patriots who went almost undefeated.
I don't think that – I mean, I don't really like the game, and obviously it's going to be packed in Paxton Lynch against probably, which makes it harder. We'll see how the defense holds up, but I don't think Denver makes the playoffs this year. That's my prediction. I think that Kansas City and Oakland are playing too good, and I think that you're going to see Denver on the outside looking in. And unfortunately, but for everybody else out there, you guys are never on the outside looking in because you're listening to Xander and Bubba here on the Sporting Edge. And everybody have a great weekend and enjoy football. And we'll have updates from the bowl game some. We'll have some updates during the week so that we can keep you posted. In the meantime, you miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm. You can download the Sporting Edge as well as the Bubba Show. And make sure that you take care of us and download those shows. We'll see you next weekend. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you so much for being here. The Sporting Edge with Xander Bubba. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.